The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For now the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. God, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus into the world for this time that he lived on earth and taught those in his midst. We thank you for his death, his resurrection, and for the day that he ascended back to you when the mission and work of the church truly began. We ask that you would be with us this morning, bless us through your presence in word and sacrament. Knit us together as the body of Christ, even when we are apart. Amen.
Amen.
This past Thursday was the Feast of the Ascension, 40 days after Easter, when Jesus ascended into heaven in the presence of his disciples. There was a Facebook post circulating among nerdy church friends this week about how Ascension Day was the day that Jesus started to work from home. Ascension Day is not a feast celebrated widely in the Episcopal Church, maybe because it always falls on a Thursday. In fact, when our priest associate Rick Bellows asked whether I knew of any churches streaming Ascension Day services, it took a fair amount of looking before we located one at Trinity Wall Street. We mention the Ascension regularly in our liturgy. You'll hear it in the Nicene Creed and in the Eucharistic prayer this morning. The death, resurrection and ascension of Jesus appearing as a continuous unfolding of events. But we almost never talk about the ascension because it's just weird. So weird that we'd much rather talk about Jesus coming back to life after he was dead than go anywhere near him flying off into heaven in front of his disciples. But there's not only what's happening that we have to deal with when we encounter the ascension. The bigger question we're left with is why. The disciples learned so much in the presence of Jesus about how to see and care for others as they followed him through his earthly ministry, as they journeyed with him through Holy Week, about self-giving love so powerful there is nothing it would not do, even die, and about the ministry that would one day be theirs in his absence, even if they couldn't understand it yet.
At the resurrection, they learned that love was more powerful even than death, about how we can be wounded and risen at the same time, about the call to share this good news with the world. Jesus showed his disciples all of these things in his ministry, in his death, and in his resurrection. But the reality is, as long as he was around, they didn't really have to do the things that he was asking of them, because he was there. He could do it for them, and it was so easy to tell themselves, I mean, let's be honest, he could do it way better than we could do it anyway. They had gotten really good at being disciples, a word that means one who follows. But in order to become the apostles, a word meaning one who is sent, in order for them to be the apostles he knew they could be, in order to spread out and share the good news across the Mediterranean world and eventually across the globe, Jesus had to leave. The drama of the ascension perhaps has a bit of a psychological benefit for them. It was so startling, so clear that he was gone, not just in another town, not biding his time before making another resurrection appearance, gone. All of the things he had been telling them about the ministry that was theirs to do, now they were actually going to have to do it. This was a shocking beginning to a new chapter in their lives, their ministry, as a community that would come to be known as the church. I can't help but feel the resonance to our time now, the shocking departure from what was, the beginning of what will be. It weirdly makes me feel a little better to read this story, knowing that the loss that we've been dealing with is about a building and not, you know, the literal embodied presence of God. It's actually a little easier. But of course, it's not actually about the building. Just as the apostles watched the body of Christ float into the sky that day and knew that they would have to experience fellowship with him in a new way, what we're really missing is not the building, but our fellowship with the body of Christ that we experience here in this place. Yes, in the Eucharist, but also each other, the gathered body of Christ in whose presence this church becomes so much more than just a building. But the instruction that Jesus gives the apostles is ours right now, too. Wait and pray. A new chapter is unfolding in our midst, just like in the midst of the apostles, and this is how it begins. The apostles will be clothed with the presence of the Holy Spirit in just a few days' time, an event we will celebrate in the Feast of Pentecost next week. The day of Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church, but right now, this year, we can't jump to this new thing that will happen. As Matthew Skinner writes, presumably the Holy Spirit could have come immediately after Jesus' ascension. But God waits. Rather, God has Jesus' followers wait. I like to think that in this waiting, they learn, or begin to learn, that they are to be a responsive community, a community that waits upon God to initiate. Whether they walk back to Jerusalem from the ascension with eager energy or paralyzing fear, we don't know. All we know is that they have to wait. The apostles find themselves called into a period of waiting, not unlike the one we're in now. They don't know how long it will be or what will happen on the other side, and yet the first task they have been assigned is not to jump into all the planning and figure out how it's all going to work, but to pray, to still themselves, to quiet the noise and the confusion and the questions, and tune in to the presence of God in their midst during their time of waiting. This is what we need in our time of waiting too, but it's not easy. And technology has gotten us really used to getting what we want immediately. But we learn something by remaining here in our liminal space of waiting. The apostles, like us, had no idea how long they would be waiting, or what their life, what their faith would look like on the other side. As Randall Mixon wrote in his commentary on this morning's passage from Acts, they and we pray for understanding, wisdom, guidance, strength to go on. They and we pray in hope and fear, in faith and doubt, in obedience and wonder. Like the days after the ascension, this time for St. Andrew's has been one of empowerment for our community. I talked about this in my letter to the community yesterday, about all the ways that you have lived into your identity as the church, even as we haven't been able to be in the church, even as we can't be in our church building. The church will be different on the other side of this pandemic. And as we devote ourselves to prayer during our time of waiting, we have the chance to discern together what this might be like. We can't make the next stage happen any faster, but that's not what's being asked of us. Our instruction is to wait and pray. It's a posture of anticipation, trusting that God is still present and that God will give us wisdom, courage, and skill we need to do whatever lies ahead. We keep waiting for things to get back to normal, but these stories from the early church keep calling us to open ourselves to the possibility of the new thing that's happening in our midst. They invite us to see possibility instead of loss, hope instead of despair. Next Sunday, on the Feast of Pentecost, we will celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the day the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. The Spirit came that day in fire and wind, and her methods are no less chaotic today. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism, and though we were not promised that things would be easy, we were promised that day that we would never be alone. We are united as the body of Christ by the Spirit who dwells within each one of us, united even when we are apart. We will all be gathered together once more, in stages here in this building, one day all together again, and ultimately one day when we make our own heavenward journeys, though most of us won't fly. And so in the meantime, we pray and we wait. We look for what God is doing now and watch, look, and listen for what will come next. We pray and we wait and we wait and we pray. Amen.